We're going to discuss today free will. This subject is very confusing inasmuch as most Christians teach that there is absolute free will, that is God's plan and His purpose. And yet this very statement drives many young people away from the Word for the simple fact that they begin to read then in the Father's Word, you were chosen, you have a destiny, I chose you, I caused you to do this. So they see a contradiction between the church and the Word, and unfortunately many times this confusion drives the young person or the student totally away from the Father's Word and the church. So let us come to an understanding. We know that it is written in both ways. So let it not be a confusing thing. Let us better understand who is chosen. Let us better understand who has free will. There is no way. What does free will mean, actually? Free will means that made or done freely, or of one's own accord, voluntarily. Free will doctrine is taught, as I said, by most Christians. Now, it is imperative, then, that we discern God's plan and His truth concerning this subject, or you're going to be confused throughout the Father's Word. Now, there is one thing for certain. You must understand, you cannot put brackets on the flesh age and think for one moment that this is the entirety of God's plan and purpose. It is not. For there is the world that was, in the Hebrew, stated over and over. Where did your spirit and your soul come from when your mother conceived? Well, any Christian will say to you, well, it came from the Father. Well, naturally it did. It was with the Father. And with this thought in mind, then let us go into free will. Let's take, as an example, Jonah. Did Jonah practice free will? He was given a commission to go to Nineveh, which was an Assyrian city. But you see, Jonah loved his people. He loved Israel. And he knew that if the Ninevites accepted his truth, that they would conquer Israel ultimately, for the Father had spoken it. He said, if Nineveh repents, then they will conquer Israel. Well, Jonah, it was his free will, if possible, to run away. He went down and he got on the ship of Tarshish, and he departed. This was his free will, was to never go to Nineveh. However, what happened? A storm came up. He was thrown into the sea, and a large fish consumed him and took him to Nineveh, or near Nineveh, and placed him upon the beach there. You see, God intervened. Jonah did not have free will. There is nothing Jonah could have done to avoid going to Nineveh, because it was God's plan. Now, many of you in your own lives, God directs you. He calls you to go to a place, whether you want to go there or not, for a purpose. Do you know what that purpose is? His plan. If you are one of God's elect, you're going to do His plan whether you like it or not. He will take you, yes, even to the ends that He did Jonah, to bring you where He would have you to facilitate or to help His plan, to cause it to come to pass. Let's take Paul, probably the greatest of all teachers, or at least one of the greatest of all teachers. Oh, let me tell you something. There could not have been a meaner man before his entry into the service of God than Paul, called Saul at that time. He killed Christians. He literally went into gatherings and drug them out, women, children, in chains, and caused them to be put to death. As a matter of fact, it was Saul that helped Stephen's clothing as they stoned him to death, that great teacher, that great identity teacher, as it is so well recorded in Acts chapter 7. So, what about Paul? What was Paul's free will? What was to murder Christians? No one can deny that. It's documented. Paul's free will was to murder Christians. He didn't like them, beloved. He didn't appreciate Jesus Christ. He was of the old school. Now, that was his free will. Let's see what happens in Acts chapter 9, if we may. And let's just take Acts chapter 9, verse 1. This person, Paul, who will be called Saul here. This is before the name change. You see, not only did God choose him, but in a sense caused his name to be changed. Paul had a destiny, and there was no way, even murdering Christians, that he was going to get away from doing God's plan. Any more than you today, if you be God's elect, can avoid serving him in a way that he would have you do. Verse 1 of chapter 9. And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went into the high priest. What this says in the Greek is in every breath he breathed, he threatened disciples. He just threatened teachers of Christ. He hated them. Verse 2. And he desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, Christ's way, of course, whether they were men or women, he didn't care, that he might bring them bound, that is, in chains, unto Jerusalem. Now, this is what Paul's free will was. Now, it's time that you listen to what the Word says rather than what man says or what you are taught. Paul's free will was not to serve Christ, but was to bind men and women and have them delivered up unto death. Yes, even. Verse 3, now, fortunately, this is what happens in many of our lives. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus. And suddenly, there shined round about him a light from heaven. Now, it was not Paul's free will that this bright light should shine from heaven, I assure you. Verse 4, and he fell to the earth, and he heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Verse 5, and he said, Who art thou, Lord? Who are you, sir? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. Really, what this loses a little bit in translation, what Jesus was saying, have you ever seen, the pricks was a cactus, all right? Have you ever seen an old Texas prickly pear? He was just the same as saying, Paul, why do you just stand there barefooted and kick into that cactus? That's what you're doing, see? And what does Paul come back? And he trembled, and he trembling and astonished said, Lord, what wilt thou have me do? And the Lord said to him, well, we see old Paul's free will changing just a little bit. He said, what do you want me to do? He realizes there's a power greater, all right? Arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou shalt do. You see, you don't do what you want to do. You do what God tells you to do. If you're one of His servants, and there's only one way you can know what He tells you to do, and that is from His Word, or as He speaks to some. 9:7, and the men which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. You know, that would leave anyone speechless, would it not? Picture it. See? Verse 8, and Saul arose from the earth, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no man. He was blind. He couldn't see. But they led him by the hand and brought him unto Damascus. They took him on into that city, that he had credentials, that he had warrants to go in and drag out, right out of the very synagogue, Christians. All right, 9, and he was 3 days without sight, and neither did he eat nor drink. Is it not strange that 3 days comes up so often? Even as Jonah, we were speaking earlier, was 3 days in the whale's belly, which was symbolic of Christ 3 days in the tomb. And later Christ would be in that tomb 3 days, all right? Paul being blind 3 days. 10, and there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias, and this means whom Yahweh has graciously given, all right? That's what the word means. And to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias. And he said, Behold, I am here, Lord. And the Lord said unto him, Arise, and go into the street which is called Straight, or True, and inquire in the house of Judas for a one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he prayeth, Now, I want you to note, let's see and observe here at the same time if Ananias uses his free will. All right? The father has told him, you go to this Saul. Ananias knew Saul. He knew he was a murderer. He knew that he was a hard man. Verse 12, continuing with Christ's words, and hath seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him that he might receive his sight. In other words, Christ had actually arranged that this one would see Ananias, this person he's speaking to, come with a message. And then Ananias answered. Let's watch Ananias' free will here now. Lord, I have heard by many of this man how much evil he hath done to the saints at Jerusalem. I've heard how bad that man is, all right? 14. And here he hath authority from the chief priest to bind all that call on thy name. He has a warrant with him where he can throw us all in jail. Ananias is not wanting to go. It's not his free will. He doesn't want to go. All right? Even after Christ requests or states. But the Lord said unto him, go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me. Underline it. Not free will. He is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. He had a three-part commission from Christ. All right? He was sent. This is why Paul spoke on three levels in so many cases. You must understand it on the level of the Gentile, the kings, and the Israelite. All right? 16. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. All right. So here we see Paul, and the point being well made, but we're going to continue a little further with it. It was not Paul's will that day on the road to Damascus to serve God. In our lives, many times, even after, you know, we don't like this term elect. We don't like to think, well, because you know why we don't like the term elect? Because we know ourselves, all right? We know what we are in the flesh. But you see, what you are in the flesh really has not a great deal to do with it. Because the elect are set aside from free will. They are chosen, called, and have a destiny, a purpose in this life. Now, we'll take free will a little past this earth age in a few moments, if time allows. But in this particular flesh age, the elect have no choice. God will force you, as he did Paul, not necessarily in that way. But he will, if you try to pull away from him, he'll take you down to the very pit until he brings you back to the place that he can use you. Okay, it is not in the elect. The elect does not mean you're better than anyone else. It means you have earned the right before your soul ever entered your body. Those are not my words. I'll document it in a moment. To be one of God's elect. God is totally fair. It is just that in our human minds, we don't understand sometimes the almighty power and the almighty greatness of God's creation and the manner and method in which he has brought it to pass. Okay, let's continue on, if we may, here with Paul, just a little further. 17. And Ananias went his way, and he entered into the house, and putting his hands on him, said, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest, hath sent me, that thou mightest receive thy sight, excuse me, and be filled with the Holy Ghost. Now, Ananias wasn't afraid, even though this man was a murderer and one with a warrant for Ananias' own arrest. After Christ told him, he obeyed. There's a little lesson in that as well concerning free will. When you have a message, obey it from him. 18. And immediately there fell from his eyes as it had been scales, and he received sight forthwith, and he rose, and he was baptized. Let's carry this just a little further and see the changed man. And when he had received meat, he was strengthened. Meat from what? The truth, the word, the teaching. Then was Saul certain days with the disciples which were at Damascus. In other words, he studied. And straightways he preached Christ in the synagogues that he is the Son of God. Well, here we have a man whose free will it was to murder and work against Christ, converted, if you would, against his will. into serving and teaching. And what a teacher he turned out to be. Most of the New Testament was written by that self-same person because he was a chosen vessel. There was no free will in it. Let's analyze then, if we may. Let's turn over to Ephesians, if we may. Let's analyze chosen just a little bit. In the book of Ephesians, let's go to chapter 1. And verse 4. Let's just begin reading there. Chapter 1, Ephesians, verse 4. According as He hath chosen us in Him. Now there's that word chosen again. That eliminates free will, beloved, as far as this flesh age is concerned. Before the foundation of the world. Now there it's told when it happened. You were chosen before the foundations of this world. Now I want to let you in on a little secret. That's not what it says in the Greek. What it says in the Greek, it is kibbo. It said you were chosen before the overthrow of this earth. What overthrow are we talking about? There's only one overthrow, beloved, mentioned in the Hebrew and in the Greek. And that is the overthrow at Satan's first rebellion in the world that was. Now, everyone knows that there was a rebellion by Satan among the peoples. Call them angels, call them people, call them souls. I don't care what you call them. But there were... Where was your soul again before it came to you? You readily admit it was with the Father, then I see no mystery in it and I see no contradiction in God's Word. It's very simple, you see. Time is not an element of interest even in this, if you would. For time, if you would, to God is hardly anything. But you were chosen before that overthrow. Do you know why you were chosen? Because you're the prettiest? Now, I admit some of you are very attractive, but I assure you that had nothing to do with your being chosen. What was the kibbutz, the overthrow? A rebellion by Satan. Some stood against him then and earned the right, were chosen. Free will has nothing to do with those elect because they have already been chosen. At that overthrow. Let us continue after the word foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. Now, it didn't say you weren't going to mess up. It said you're going to be holy before Him, all right, in love. 5, having predestined us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself according to the good pleasure of His will. Your will, your free will, no, His will. For you see, in this earth, there were some that followed Satan in that rebellion. Many did. And it is necessary that those have free will in this flesh age to make their mind up whether they will follow Satan or whether they will follow our Father. God will not intercede in their lives through the flesh, through the millennium. They must have free will because they did not overcome. They fell in that first rebellion. But God's plan had to be done, so who did He choose to do it? His elect, those that overcome in the world that was, had to pass through or volunteered to pass through this flesh age to do God's work. That's why it won't do you any good to try to get away from it. That's why, because you're not here for your own purpose. You're not here with free will. I'm speaking free will. I'm speaking to the elect. You're here for the purpose of your people. That God uses as a tool whereby they may see the overall plan. Does that make you a big hero? I tell you, it makes Him love you in His eyes. You have a duty and you have a destiny. You have a purpose, and that's to fulfill His plan. You can't avoid it. He'll do you like He did Paul, in a sense, or in a way. Many of you, He's already interceded in your lives. I've got to do this. Did you, or did He show you you could get by without it? I'm going to be a great author or a painter. Maybe if you'd been a great author or painter, and maybe you are. But it was according to His plan, if you're one of His elect, you say. Now, you can do all these things and He will bless you in it as long as you do what He would have you do and it does not cross His plan. And He'll even bless you in it. He'll help you. He'll prosper you. But first, you must come to the place where you say, Father, what am I to do for my people? For our people, you see. Because many of you have a destiny and a purpose. Some, yes, have free will. For it is true, there are people in both categories. It is not fair for the person with free will for God to intervene, except to protect. He does do this. Okay, now let's continue, if we may, here. Verse 6. To the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us acceptable in the Beloved. He's made you as acceptable as one of the first fruits of Christ. Do you know what that word predestined means? It isn't difficult. You know, it means that predetermined, from before the foundations. 7. In whom we are where we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. Yes, even you, the elect, that are sinners, and you all are, we all are. It is still through that blood that we are forgiven those sins of the flesh. And don't you ever forget to thank Him for it, all right? 8, wherein He hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence. Do you know who you are, beloved? Do you know what your destiny is? That's a lot of wisdom, especially if it be in the simplicity of Christ's teachings and the little simple plan that He has set forth for this world. Or do you listen to man that makes it complicated and hard to understand? 9, having made known unto us the mystery, oh, listen to that, the mystery of His will, not your will, beloved, His will, because as long as you know His will and do it, you won't have any trouble. According to His good pleasure, not yours, His good pleasure, which He hath purposed in Himself or proposed. He does it, beloved. You're only a servant. Okay? Let's just continue on through the 11th verse. That in the dispensation, do you know what dispensation? This flesh dispensation, open your eyes, beloved, of the fullness of times, He might gather together in one all things in Christ. In other words, to bring your people to Christ. You're only a servant. Both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in Him. Did you understand what that said? It said, His that are already in heaven and His that are in earth, to gather them all together in one, in Christ. Meaning what? There's very little difference, if you would, in the souls that are in heaven and the ones that are here. It's simply that one is living through this flesh dispensation. The others are there. I assure you, they're not out here in a hole in the ground. For the soul goes back to the Father who gave it immediately on death. Ecclesiastes chapter 12. The flesh body, you bet, it's nothing but dirt. It's right there in the ground. But the soul is with the Father. His plan, the mystery of it, is to bring all people, all loved ones, together in Him. What a beautiful opportunity, beloved, to serve Him. Let's continue on with one more verse, 11. To whom also we have obtained an inheritance. Oh, that's your covenants, all right? Being predestined, there's that word again. Free will, no, being predestined according to the purpose of Him, not you, beloved. The purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will. Your will, your free will, no, beloved. If you're one of God's elect, His will. Now, again, I caution you. This has nothing to do with someone that is not one of God's elect. But it is so very important, if you are one of God's elect, and if you have ears to hear what I'm saying, you are. For only the elect know that there's a false Christ appearing very soon in Jerusalem. All others were blinded to it for their own protection, you see. It means you have a duty. You have a purpose in God's plan. You are somebody. And God is going to deal with you until you're ready to say, as Paul did, yes, Lord, and do His work. Then you'll be happy. You'll be complete. I tell you, does God intercede in your life if you're one of the saints? You see, saints is a little Greek word that simply means the separated ones, the called out ones, or if you prefer, the chosen ones. Let's go to the 8th chapter of Romans, if we may, to conclude. We'll conclude this lecture in this book of Romans. Romans chapter 8. And let's pick it up, if we may. Oh, let's make it verse 27. Paul, that same Paul that we were reading about on the road to Damascus, is teaching here. These words are from God through him. And he's talking about the saints and how much wisdom and knowledge you have. And I want you to remember those words. The elect, the saints, and how much knowledge and wisdom you have. Verse 27. And he that searcheth the hearts, this means the minds, knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit. This is the Heavenly Father and the Holy Spirit. Because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Did he say he makes intercession for the saints according to that little old saint's purpose and for what that little old saint wants or this? No, he said for the will of God. And I kind of overshot the landing field there just a little bit in saying how much you would know. I'm going to have to back up real quickly, and I'm going to just read verse 26 for you, all right? Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. This is our weaknesses. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. In other words, you don't know what to pray for, really. That's why God has to intercede in your life. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings, this is sighs, which cannot be uttered. In other words, much of the truth you couldn't stand if you knew it. This is to say the future, what's going to happen. So he intercedes in his life to bring you exactly to the place that he would have you. Why? So that you can help your people. Do you want to have a purpose? Do you want to have a destiny? Then if you have ears to hear, study God's plan. For it shall not happen as man would have it happen, but exactly as the Father's plan would so determine. Let's go on, if we may, with verse 28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called. Underline it again, beloved. Called according to his purpose. Now, did it say free will, people that just jump on the wagon because they have free will? No, it says called according to his purpose, not yours. It is the most mature thought in the world, if you can understand, as one of God's elect, that what you want is what he wants anyway. And that you want no part of it if it's not in his plan. It doesn't matter how weak your flesh is or how it cries out for a thing. Oh, I've got to have a drink of water. Oh, I've got... The flesh will always talk to you. Oh, I'm tired. I want to sit down a little bit. Tell it to sit down and shut up. That you've got things to do for the Father. All right? Control the flesh. Have willpower according to God's plan, not yours, you see. Do you understand what I mean? Want what the Father would have. That's what's good. That's what helps our people, okay? According to his purpose and his plan. 29. For whom he did foreknow. Now, there's an interesting word in the Greek. Do you know what foreknow knew from before? That is to say, before the kabod, before this world, in the world that was, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Oh, that Son was the firstborn, beloved. That 3 days when he resurrected from that tomb, went on back and taught to the people all the way back to Noah's time. That's recorded in 2 Peter, if you want to read it in first, as well as 1st. Salvation, taught them, told them. But in the world that was, those that overcome, what he's telling you here, were selected to help him bring in, if you would, then the others into first fruits. Now listen to this verse 30, real, real close. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. That's why you're called and chosen. And whom he called, them he also justified. In the Greek, this means judged, all right? They were already judged, you see. Found innocent, if you would. That's why he can interfere in with your life, because you've already been judged, if you will understand. No, not one of God's elect ever takes advantage of that. Because many of in our human hearts would say, well, he's teaching that if I'm already chosen, I can do whatever I want to, you see. The flesh will talk to you like that, but you tell it to get over there and sit down and wait until we're through with the Father's business, you see. God's elect don't think. Oh, the thought will hit your mind, you see. There's nothing wrong with that, because you have to be in the flesh. But you've already been justified. You'll never take advantage of that if you're mature in his teachings. And whom he justified or judged, them he also glorified. You think about that a moment. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? You think about that, beloved. It doesn't matter if the world says you believe just a little different. It doesn't matter if you stand apart from the multitude. Thank God for it. For you were chosen to do his will, his work, his way, before the foundations of this earth, you see. What an opportunity to serve your people, to be a champion, if you would, to stand against this false Christ that is going to appear in Jerusalem very soon. In concluding this, we're going to turn to one more chapter, chapter 11 in this book of Romans. You know, Paul was asked, well, what about these people, Israel? If God saves everybody, then what difference is it to them, to anyone else? What difference does it make who you are? You see. And it's a good thing that it does make a bit of a difference, for most people that are true Israelites call themselves Gentiles. They don't know about the 10 tribes of Israel that went north, settled Belgium, England, Holland, France, Ireland, Scotland, and later come to this nation and in fact are a part of the nation Israel. But God told him, let's go to verse 2 in this, and I'm just going to read it quickly. We'll pick up on video on verse 32 here in a moment. God hath not cast away his people which he foreknew. There's that word foreknew again, you see. Nothing happens by accident, beloved. It happens according to God's plan. Would ye not, what the scriptures say of Elias, how that he maketh intercession to God against Israel, saying, Lord, they've killed thy prophets, dig down thine altars, and I'm left all alone, and they seek my life? But what saith the answer of God unto him? Now you listen closely, for the Antichrist is coming soon. What were you set aside for? I have reserved to myself 7,000 men. This word in the Greek means human beings, men and women, who have not bowed a knee to the image of Baal. Even so then, at this present time also, there is a remnant according to the election of grace. That is to say, called, chosen, elected. Now, of course, the overall purpose in this is so that the flesh today, those with free will that are not elect, can have the right, the opportunity. They must have the right and the opportunity. Many of them, you know, I marvel at how many people overcome in the flesh to Christ without knowing the full truth today, just in simple salvation. Because the poison that is poured out at them, I marvel that even one can make it through. But all, many, many have. Think of your great-grandparents. Think of your grandparents, your parents. You see, they were good. The ultimate was so that these could have the opportunity. Let's skip on, if we may, in closing, to verse 32. This more or less concludes the thought. Verse 32 of chapter 11, Romans. For God hath concluded them all in unbelief. If had we read just a little further, we would have said, read where he put stupor over the people, where they were asleep, the spirit of slumber, where they couldn't see what was going on, for their protection, that he might have mercy upon all. In other words, that he might forgive them, for a sin committed in ignorance is not a sin. 33. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. Oh, how great he is. How unsearchable are His judgments and His ways past finding out. Bless your hearts, not too many can know and or understand. 34, for who hath known the mind of the Lord? Or who hath been His counselor? Beloved, He didn't have a counselor. He is the Creator. He is knowledge. All wisdom comes from Him. Or who hath first given to Him, and it shall be recompensed unto Him again? All right. 36. For of Him, and through Him, and to Him are all things, or comes all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen. We're speaking of life there. Life. Now understand God's plan. I want to just talk about it in closing, just one quick moment. What happened in that world that was? This is basically my opinion. Call it an educated guess. Call it whatever you want to. Satan rebelled, and it is documented that one-third of God's children fell with him. Revelation chapter 12. They were misled. God had a choice. He could kill them. Have you ever tried killing one of your own children? It'd be a hard thing, would it not? It'd hurt you right here like never before. Well, God has more compassion than you do. He did not wish to kill those children. So He destroyed, yes, the world that was because it was imperfect. Satan had rebel. We won't go into that. And created Adam from the flesh, or in the flesh, and caused his soul, his being, his entity, his person, his spirit body, you call it whatever you want to enter that flesh body. And then he took female from that body and made woman, and created a womb, whereby each one of those deceived souls would pass through this earth age in a flesh body with free will, excluding the elect, to decide whether they loved him or Satan. You see, beloved, there's one thing God cannot do. Now, I know you've been taught all your way, and in your heart right away it rears up at me for even making such a statement like that, but I'm not going to lie to you, and I'm a realist. There's one thing God will not do. Oh, He could do it if He wanted to, but He won't. And in a sense, it is because He can't. He will not force you to love Him. For you see, you are an entity. You are an individual. And love must come from within you. It must originate there. It cannot be ordered. You can't buy love. You can't order it to. It's got to come from freely given from within each individual. You see, that's what this is all about. He didn't want to kill those children. He couldn't force them to love Him, but He wants them to. They're having an opportunity, born innocent, not knowing Satan and the wiles of his ways, with free will. But you that stood in the world that was were chosen, justified there to serve Him in this age so those children can have an opportunity. And that's why He called them children, and that's why they are children. Because they cannot come to full maturity of mind and God's plan and His purpose. Beloved, perhaps I'm guilty of oversimplification, but I assure you that is God's plan. That is His entire plan, whereby those children can love Him. Now, in the millennium, very soon, you, God's elect, will have an opportunity to be priests. This is well written and recorded in Revelation chapter 20. When, in an instant, in a wink of an eye, all bodies shall be changed into that body, that spiritual body, an incorruptible body, whereby there will be no mental retardation. You're not going to have to say, well, should I be a Baptist? Should I be a Methodist? Should I be this? People don't know, you see. They don't know which way to go because God sent the spirit of stupor upon them, slumber, if you like, in English. But they're going to know then. For Satan's going to be incarcerated and tied up in this pit. And they're going to be shown that is the one And I'm quoting from Isaiah chapter 14 now. Is this the man that deceived the world? For he shall very soon. But you, God's elect, have work to do. For you must stand against this Antichrist soon as these children make their mind up. And as Christ so aptly told you in Mark 13, don't you premeditate even what you'll say when you're delivered up before this Antichrist. For he'll put the words in your mouth. You see, you may be God's elect, but it's not your plan. It's his. Those words will come forth from your mouth. They'll be televised to the world. For the truth must first be published to all nations. Aren't you glad that you have an opportunity to serve as one of his servants in that? Oh, let me tell you something. God's word is made. God is not the author of confusion, but of peace. It is only man that confuses God's word. Understand free will. For free will, certainly it is for some. But destiny, election, and purpose, God's purpose, is the duty of God's elect. Thank him for that. Let us approach his throne. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for the truth, the way. We thank thee, Father, for the knowledge that is written in these words, in the simplicity of the teachings of Jesus Christ, whereby we may absorb that, Father, and grow and prosper, Father, in thy way, not ours, Father, but to thy plan and purpose. We thank you for this. In the precious name of Jesus Christ, thy Son and our Savior. Amen. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you, Father, for the truth, the written word, Father. Gain us understanding, Father. Help us in this. We pray for thy wisdom in the precious name of Yahshua, Jesus the Christ. Amen.